You're listening to the ModernDogTrainer.net podcast, bringing you the best industry tips and topics for professional dog trainers worldwide.
Hi there, you're listening to the Modern Dog Trainer podcast. I'm Ines McNeil, founder of the Modern Dog Trainer blog and podcast, and today I'm chatting with Kat Camplin, my co-host, and Kaylin Munkowitz.
Before we go much further, don't forget to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes podcasts. You can also follow us on Twitter at Modern Trainer and on Facebook. All the links are in the show notes at themoderndogtrainer.net. So put your feet up, grab something to drink, and let's get started.
Awesome. So welcome, Kaylin. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi. Thanks so much for having me. So, I am the founder of and head trainer and behaviorist at All Things Pups. I believe in only using positive reinforcement methods with every single dog that I work with, whether the training consists of basic obedience for a puppy or all the way to working through aggression. So, that's kind of the values of my business. And I really started my business to educate as many dog owners as I possibly can. Just because I feel like the education for training is so lacking out there. And I believe that the more owners who are informed and educated, the less dogs that will be, you know, returned to shelters and the more dogs we can save.
Absolutely.
So how did you become a dog trainer?
So it's sort of a long story. I never really thought that I would end up in this profession. Ever since I was 3 years old, I always wanted to be a veterinarian. And that's just because I had such a passion about dogs from a really early age. I had a special connection with dogs when I was 3 years old. And I really wanted to help as many dogs as I could. So I just thought the route would be, you know, being a veterinarian. So fast forward, I guess to high school, I did a lot of dog walking. I mean, growing up before high school, I was always very, very connected to my family dogs. I would train them, just had that special connection. And then in high school, I did a lot of dog walking for the neighborhood, and just really loved it. And then in college, I studied animal science at the University of Minnesota. You know, my plan was to be a vet. And also in high school and college, I worked for a dog daycare and training facility where I learned a lot of my core values from. And again, it was just kind of a side passion job. And I really, really loved the training aspect of it. Just, you know, gaining knowledge. I thought it was really awesome just to gain knowledge in every area of the dog industry. So I did the grooming for them there. And then I also got involved with a rescue. And that's really what really opened up my mind on what I wanted to do. I wanted to help with the rescues and do everything I possibly could to help those rescue dogs. So fast forward a little bit, then I was offered an internship at a veterinary specialty hospital in San Diego. And I thought, what better way to gain experience before vet school, before going to vet school? Mm-hmm. So the plan was to come out to San Diego for a year, do the internship, and then go back to Minnesota for vet school. And when I got to the internship, it really opened my eyes at what goes on behind the scenes at some, obviously not all, veterinary hospitals. And it just really, really turned me away from that industry.
Yeah.
The company that I was working for was very just all about the money. And it just didn't make sense to me why anyone would be in that industry if you were not truly passionate about every single animal that you were caring for. So, so that just kind of turned me away from it. And at the time, I was very lost. It's what I wanted to do since I was 3 years old. And so I turned back to what I was most passionate about, which was being involved in rescues. And I got involved in rescues here in San Diego, and I absolutely loved California, so I knew I didn't want to go back to Minnesota. So I stayed here. I mean, how could you not love the weather? We were just talking 80 degrees here in February. Yes. Amazing. So I got back into the rescues, and at the same time, a lot of my friends, family members were adopting or getting new dogs, and they were asking me how I fostered dogs in college. I guess that's a huge part of it that I left out. With being involved in rescues through college, I adopted my own puppy, and I always had a foster puppy because it just came very easy to me, and it was a lot of fun. So everyone was reaching out to me and asking me how in the world I fostered dogs and had a puppy throughout college, that they just got this new puppy and the puppy is running their lives. So I decided to put together a comprehensive everything you need to know on how to raise and train a puppy, just because I didn't think that there was anything else out there like that. And, you know, at Petco, you can buy the potty training books, the tricks books, but I didn't think that there was one comprehensive guide to follow. Mm-hmm. And at this time, this is what I'm talking about is now my book. But I did not expect this to turn into a book. I thought it would just be a guide to help, you know, my friends and family members. And I sure did not think that this would turn into a full-blown business. So that was going on. And then at the same time with the rescues, I was, you know, finding myself constantly giving other fosters and adopters advice, and soon became the go-to trainer among the rescues. And I would think, like, trainer, what? That's crazy. So yeah, from there, I started doing private training sessions among the rescue. And from there, it just started into a business, doing private training sessions with other clients. And yeah, a lot of my experience was definitely from the fostering. I got involved with a rescue in LA who rescues dogs that are on the top of the euthanasia list. So it's a lot of the bully breeds. Mastiffs, those kind of dogs. So I got a lot of experience working with aggression cases as well. So that definitely added a lot of knowledge to my experience. And that was so much fun, just being able to apply those positive reinforcement principles that I always believed in and valued through with just basic obedience, and applying it to the reactivity and aggression cases and seeing results was just probably the coolest part. So yeah, that's my story.
Do you feel that there's a different sort of need or different sort of education that fosters needs outside of, say, just a first-time pet owner or a pet owner that had practically perfect dog before and now has crazy dog? Is there a special need that needs to be met in the foster system that perhaps we don't know about?
I wouldn't say a different. I think that whether you're a foster or a first-time dog owner, I think just education is lacking all throughout. So I wouldn't say different. Of course, if you're fostering, you know, a more difficult case such as reactivity or aggression, there's definitely different advice and techniques to follow through that. But honestly, what I find is that a lot of fosters, I would say, educate themselves a little bit more than owners. Because they try to educate on what they're getting into. They want to do the best that they can to help the foster dogs. And I think a lot of dog owners don't educate themselves as much getting into, you know, like, oh, I want to buy a puppy. This puppy's so cute. And don't really do that, the research and the education prior to that. So does that answer what you were asking?
Kind of. I was just, you know, one of the things I think that is a reason that people don't foster, and I am numerous times failed foster, right? have the intention of, you know, being the rehab home for a dog that got hit by a car, and he crawled into my bed and it was done. Like, he was there 10 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I think part of it for the fostering for me from outside of it is the anticipation of the feeling of loss when a foster dog leaves. And I didn't know if that sort of, you know, coping with the sense of loss is part of what fosters need, or people need in general, to sort of enter into a foster type of situation.
Got it. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's so hard to deal with that. And the first one is the hardest, but I definitely think that, you know, as you foster more and more dogs, it gets easier just because you know that you're helping the dog. And yeah, I think there is a different way to go about a dog. You have to look at each individual case and make sure that you're sensitive towards that dog's background, absolutely, as opposed to jumping into training a dog, although it's all positive reinforcement, of course, as opposed to jumping in and training a very confident dog who needs that kind of structure. So there's definitely different ways to go about that training, for sure.
All right. So how has the book, you mentioned how you wrote it and that you didn't anticipate it being a book, but how has it impacted your business?
I think that it's been amazing, and it's helped so many people. As far as profit-wise, it definitely hasn't affected my business as much as private training, but I think it's allowed me to, one, have more credibility, you know, just having that book behind you, and two, be able to help so many people who might not be able to, one, afford my private training, or obviously I only go to a handful of cities and train there. So it's allowed everybody across the country, across the world even, to be able to gain some education. So it's absolutely helped me scale to reach just a more, you know, range of people all over.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So another reason I wanted to have you on the show is because I'm a fan of Gary Vaynerchuk, and I recently saw you on his YouTube channel for episode number 370 of The Gary V Show. So for those that don't know, Gary Vaynerchuk is an entrepreneur and a digital marketing powerhouse online. So definitely check him out if you haven't yet. But can you tell us why you wanted to meet him?
Yeah. So, I mean, who wouldn't want to meet him?
Amazing. Right.
He actually, you know, I started listening to him, I want to say like 6 months before I met him, and he actually helped my business just 3x, just following his advice. He's just amazing and so inspirational. So he has been my biggest role model, who I turn to for, you know, as a mentor and everything. So it was just a dream come true to meet him. So yeah, I wanted to meet him basically to get more advice on my specific business.
Nice. And how did you get to meet him? I mean, obviously he's an extremely popular person. So how did you get FaceTime with him?
Yeah. So it was just certain connections. So actually, one of my employees went to one of his speaking events in LA or Palm Springs. And it kind of ended up just being a coincidence that he asked, Gary does like the seminars, and then he does a Q&A at the end. So he got up there and asked if we could have a chance to shadow him at VaynerMedia for the day. Mm-hmm. And Gary just basically said, done. Yes. Send me an email and you guys can come. So It was amazing because I do training in New York City every other month. So I was going to be there anyways. So it just worked out awesome. We shadowed his whole team for the day. And just, it was really cool to see all of his employees, what each of them do behind the scenes too. And each of them were able to give me individual advice as well, which was amazing. And then... yeah, then we got to meet with the man himself, and he gave me some advice and just kind of talked about my business. And yeah, it was so awesome.
That's awesome. So how has being on the show, you know, I guess there's, you know, the information you got from him in person, and then there's the impact that obviously being, you know, online on the show with him. How did those two experiences impact your business?
Yeah, so first of all, the advice that he gave me was basically he told me, he was kind of just telling me that I'm doing everything right, reaching out and using influencer marketing was huge. But the advice that he gave me was to do a kind of call-in show like he does, where people call in and ask questions and I give out, you know, those answers, which basically was what our meeting consisted of, is how much I've taken away that just giving out free content to people actually helps your business grow. So I started doing an Ask the Trainer show. And the first time, just like he always says, I think I had like 10 viewers. And he always said a small number is better than zero. And so every single week it's grown. And now I do it, I try to do it once a week, every Friday on Instagram Live. And then I post that video onto YouTube and my podcast. So it's been growing, and I have so many people that are always looking forward to that and asking me questions. So that's grown. That's helped me a ton. But with the views of me meeting with him on his channel, I've developed so many different connections. I found a videographer that I've been searching for so long, and I've had, you know, opportunities for podcasts and people reaching out just wanting to help my business. So it just really opened up the door for a lot more connections and definitely clients. People are like, oh, I saw you on there. I don't want to go with any other dog trainer but you.
Right.
So yeah, it's opened up all different kinds of avenues. So it's been so fun.
Oh, that's amazing.
Awesome. Yeah. So where do you go from here? How do you hope to grow your business moving forward?
So from here, I am in the process of hiring on trainers in all of the different cities that I travel to for training. So I live in San Diego, but I go up to LA twice a week, Orange County once a week. I'm in New York City every other month. So I'm just hustling like crazy to, one, take over Southern California. And then New York City is a completely different market that just kind of happened from training one influencer's dog there, but it's just booming there as well. So I hope to hire trainers all over, have facilities in each of those locations, and just be able to, again, reach as many people as I possibly can. The consistent client flow in each of those cities is amazing. So what I'm really focused on right now is just building up my brand on Instagram and all over, just to be able to reach as many people as I can. It just is the most amazing feeling when people message me from across the world or across the country and just say, you know, your tips and information on Instagram have just helped me with my dog so much. They've saved my sanity. They've saved my dog's life. So that's really why I'm doing what I can. So I just want to continue to educate as many people as I possibly can and help dogs and owners all across the world.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. So how did you choose Instagram as your social platform as opposed to Twitter and Vine and Facebook Live? What was it about Instagram that you liked?
So Instagram, I've just seen has a huge market for the influencer community. So I have reached out to so many different influencers, whether that be bloggers or celebrities, to use influencer marketing. And it's just the biggest platform for influencer marketing right now. And I think what I love on my personal side of that is that I love that I can share videos on there and tips and posts. I can do the, you know, just the captions and the written tips as well as the video tips. And then there's also that option for Instagram stories where I can share my day-to-day life and different tips here and there when I'm walking my dogs, when I'm at training sessions, who I'm training. So everybody can follow along with. And I really feel that there hasn't been a dog trainer on Instagram that's doing it that big and giving out that much content. So that's been really huge. And that's just a lot of the influencers that I've worked with. That's their main platform of where they are sharing. They are sharing the brands that they work with. So I've just gained a lot of followers from there. And I just think it's the most used social media aspect right now. I am right now trying to grow my YouTube as well, because that's something I definitely wish I would have started a lot earlier, because of course people want to see the trainer's methods and everything, you know? So I'm definitely aiming to grow that as well too.
Nice. So if people want to follow you on Instagram or YouTube or email you or check out your book, can you give us your contact information for all of those?
Yeah. So the Instagram is just at all things pups, all together, one word. And then my email address is Kaylin, K-A-E-L-I-N, at allthingspups.com. And then my website is allthingspups.com, and YouTube is allthingspups.
Awesome. Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I think it was really interesting to see your experience and, you know, how you've come to be. So thanks for joining us. And as always, all of these links and, you know, helpful tips will be in the show notes on the website as well at themoderndogtrainer.net. So thanks again.
Thanks so much.
Do you love the podcast? Looking for more to grow your dog training business? Check out our website at themoderndogtrainer.net to learn more from our blog, join our Facebook group, or take a course. Ross Malcolm Boyd edits the program, but he does a lot more than that. Visit rossmalcolmboyd.com for rainbow unicorns, online music lessons, and more.
Thank you for listening to the Modern Dog Trainer podcast. Don't forget, you can check out the show notes at themoderndogtrainer.net/podcast. You can also share your thoughts and support our podcast by leaving a review on iTunes. Until next time.